The following podcast contains advertising. To access an ad-free version of the Lawfare podcast, become a material supporter of Lawfare at patreon.com/lawfare. That's patreon.com/lawfare. Also, check out Lawfare's other podcast offerings, Rational Security, Chatter, Lawfare No Bull, and The Aftermath.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Although, as you mentioned, the Swedish Prime Minister mentioned that the security situation is the gravest since the Second World War in Sweden, and that is of course true. But on the other hand, the security situation is not as dire as we expected it to be, because Russia is simply so tied up in Ukraine that it has not had the ability and the capacity to intimidate Finland and Sweden or put pressure on these two countries. At least in Finland, there was quite a strong expectation that this so-called gray area between application and membership could become quite difficult, or could turn out to be very, very difficult in terms of Russian disturbance attempts and all that. But so far, it has not been the case. Life has continued its usual calm way in Finland. And so there's this argument that because of this, we have time, so we should wait for Sweden.
I'm David Preece, publisher of Lawfare. And this is the Lawfare podcast for January 26th, 2023. Turkish President Erdogan has thrown a giant wrench into Sweden's NATO membership bid after a protest outside the Turkish embassy in Stockholm. This, in turn, affects Finland's application to the alliance, because Sweden and Finland applied to and intended to join the alliance concurrently. I sat down with Mina Olander, research fellow at the Finnish Institute of International Affairs, to talk about how we got here, about what Finnish leaders have been saying about these new developments, and about paths forward for Finland and NATO. It's the Lawfare Podcast, January 26th, Finland's NATO bid interrupted. Let's set the stage for what we've seen in the last day or two. Mina, bring us up to speed by talking about the Finnish and Swedish applications to NATO, the progress towards the accession from all of the member countries voting for approval, and where we were in that process, especially regarding Turkey's agreement or lack thereof, up until last week?
Well, unfortunately, there hasn't been much progress in September. Initially, the ratifications came in very quickly. 28 member states ratified Finland and Sweden, as I mentioned, until September already, so within just a couple of months after submitting the applications and then getting the invitee status at the Madrid summit. But then the process unfortunately has stalled, as you mentioned, with Hungary and Turkey. Hungary has been somewhat less difficult in the sense that it has just been probably playing for time and seeing whether there's something to get out of this also in the EU, maybe vis-a-vis Sweden and Finland. But it's now the latest is that Hungary ought to ratify in February, and we have at least no information to the contrary so far. Right. But with Turkey, it's a different issue because President Erdogan has made it an obstacle with Sweden that he's not happy with what he calls terrorists. So there's a Kurdish minority in Sweden. And Erdogan has handed over a long list of people to be extradited from Sweden to Turkey.
Right. Well, let's Let's review a bit of those pieces there that you just mentioned. So first, Sweden and Finland applying at the same time, and most of the member states of NATO taking their proposed memberships together and approving them both. Hungary and Turkey being the holdouts, looking for some negotiations, looking for some benefits, whatever the case may be. The Turkish leadership claiming to have these concerns about Kurds and others speaking out in Sweden in particular. Were there any explicit Turkish objections to Finnish membership on top of that general concern?
Not so far. These objections and also the list of demands have been mainly directed towards Sweden, and nothing specific about Finland has been expressed. And Erdogan himself actually already last year kind of hinted at not having a problem with the Finnish membership. So It does make Finland maybe to an extent collateral damage in this equation. But since there are advantages in keeping the application process a united one with Sweden, there is unfortunately at the moment not much that Finland can do to proceed.
Right. Now, up to this point, and we'll talk about the most recent day or two in a moment, but up to this point, characterize how the Finnish leadership and the Swedish leadership have talked about applying for and joining NATO. Have they talked about it in unison without many instances of daylight between their positions, or have there been differences in their approaches?
The rhetoric has been very strongly united and in favor of this joint application. It was quite remarkable already in the process leading to the application and to the decision. It was very much about the Finnish-Swedish history together and the very close relations between the countries and how important it is that we do this together and take this step together. And it has remained so also in Finland. Although this question has popped up every once in a while, if the process is taking longer with Sweden, but in principle not, or there would be an option for Finland to go ahead alone, whether Finland should then go for it. And the state leadership has consistently emphasized that we will definitely wait for Sweden and we will not separate the processes.
I want to talk about that in some detail because the international press, at least, has been trying to read a lot into some very anodyne comments, frankly, from the Finnish leadership. So I'm going to read you a couple of those and ask you to interpret whether you see it the same way as some of the foreign press has. So first, we had the foreign minister, I believe in Helsinki, who some say hinted at joining NATO without Sweden. His actual words included that Finland would have to evaluate the situation if it turns out that Sweden's application is stalling for a long time. When I saw the actual comments, I did not read that as the foreign minister saying that they were leaning towards pushing forward without Sweden. It looked like a very diplomatic statement, which often comes out when there's breaking news, like President Erdogan saying this, that we will evaluate the situation. But the press seems to have picked up on that and said, you know, Finland ready to go it alone into NATO. Do you think that was jumping ahead of the actual words?
To some extent, definitely yes, because actually after having given that interview, Foreign Minister Haavisto gave another press conference where he explicitly confirmed that Finland will stick with Sweden and that is definitely like the preferred option. So, of course, it is a difference compared to until now. Nobody on the very highest level even mentioned this option, and it was always emphasized that we will continue on this road to NATO together with Sweden. So in that sense, it is, of course, indeed news that he did mention that there is this kind of option maybe somewhere in the future. And I think that the way how it could happen most likely would be if Turkey decided to ratify only Finland but not Sweden. But other than that, it's very unlikely that Finland at any time soon would start pushing for a separate application or separate process.
Right. Yes, you raise a good point that he did fairly quickly follow up with comments to reporters at Parliament saying that his comment had been imprecise. But yes, the ambition was to join NATO with Sweden, and that was unchanged from previous policy. At the same time, the president said, I believe he was visiting in Kyiv at the time, the president said a good Finnish statement, I'll say. He said, "We have to take this calmly," which I think is perfect. And then he noted that he thought it seemed to be the case that we have to wait for the elections in Turkey to take place in May, that may provide an opening for some difference from the Turkish government on this issue. And I'm wondering if that comment from the president of Finland reflects your understanding as well, that the dynamic in Ankara may change after May.
Since I am not an expert on Turkish domestic politics, it's very hard for me to say what to expect from the elections there. But it does seem likely that this is very much up to Erdogan's calculation, whether he thinks that he can gain more by ratifying before the elections or postponing it until to some later point in time after the elections. And right now, I don't really see how the current mood could swing in a way that the ratification would take place before. Also, there's the fact that we will have parliamentary elections in Finland in April, and that, of course, offers yet another excuse not to ratify, with the reason that Finland won't have a government for a couple of weeks. So, to be frank, I don't really expect anything much to happen until summer.
Mm-hmm. Let me turn the lens back on Finland then. Is there any significant opposition in the body politic such that the elections coming up in Finland would change the dynamic of the desire for NATO membership here?
If you mean whether Finland will backtrack, definitely not. It is very, very, very strong consensus politically and in the society. So there's no fear about Finland backtracking from the decision to join. That is absolutely secured in the parliament and also in the public opinion. What could happen, though, is that the impatience grows, and that if we have a change in government, which looks likely at this moment, there may be a different government policy then on whether or not to wait for Sweden.
Yeah, that could be interesting to see if it changes that calculation. I'd like to walk through a lot of the potential paths forward here with you. And to set the stage for that, a few comments from the Swedish side, although we'll be talking about the Finnish calculations in this episode and not the Swedish. But the Swedish Prime Minister yesterday did say in a previously unscheduled presser with the media that the security situation in Sweden is the most difficult since the Second World War, and used that as an opportunity to essentially tell the Swedish people to please hold back on provocations, in his words, to realize the seriousness of the situation, which threatens our entire democracy and peace, making the point that joining NATO is the most important issue for Swedish security, and perhaps protests at the Turkish embassy are best to hold off on for now. Given that context, that Sweden, at least from the prime minister's perspective, seems to be wanting to get over this hump and work with Turkey by not provoking anything further, that sets the stage for what Finland can do. So I'm going to lay out a couple of options. You tell me which ones I'm missing, and let's rack and stack these to see how they could play out. First, Finland could say, in the short term, forget it. We have the long border with Russia. Sweden does not. We wanted to apply with Sweden and get in with Sweden, but we see nothing from Ankara showing that it could happen quickly. Therefore, we will move forward while pledging to fully support Sweden's membership as well. So that's option one. the fast track, go it alone and hope that Hungary and Turkey come on board quickly. Track two would be the opposite, which is, we swear we will not join NATO until Sweden is in. We are in this together forever, and we will do nothing to, in a sense, negotiate Sweden out of NATO membership. I think there's probably some things that could be done from NATO and Finland and Sweden that kind of help make up for that. But those are the two starkest options. And I'm wondering if you can compare those for me in terms of what you think the likelihoods are. And then we can talk about other options that are not that diametrically opposed.
That's a good point, that they are very diametrically opposed and quite extreme in some ways, because I think that probably the truth will be somewhere in the middle. So the latter option is actually definitely the preferred one. And there is a good argument for it. And that is that although, as you mentioned, the Swedish Prime Minister mentioned that the security situation is the gravest since the Second World War in Sweden. And that is, of course, true. But on the other hand, the security situation is not as dire as we expected it to be. Because that's right. Russia is simply so tied up in Ukraine that it has not had the ability and the capacity to intimidate Finland and Sweden or put pressure on these two countries. At least in Finland, there was quite the strong expectation that this so-called gray area between application and membership could become quite difficult, or it could turn out to be very, very difficult in terms of Russian disturbance attempts and all that. But so far, it has not been the case. Life has continued its usual calm way in Finland. And so there's this argument that because of this, we have time, so we should wait for Sweden. We should not let Erdogan divide us from our most important partner and so on. So there is definitely that argument for the option B, or the second option you outlined. Then to the first option, the public opinion is getting somewhat impatient on this matter already. In November last year, end of November, there was an opinion poll where 52% of the persons polled said that they would prefer Finland to just go ahead without Sweden. And while that will unlikely impact the government position on this, at least until the elections, depending on how the situation develops, it could definitely put some domestic pressure on a new government to at least definitely go ahead if Turkey ratified Finland first. But I think, to be honest, that it's very unlikely that Finland will proactively start pursuing this kind of separate track. And it's more about this question whether Turkey would actually make this move and just ratify Finland without Sweden. Then it's a different question. Then it would be more difficult for Finland to keep waiting for Sweden.
Right.
There's one significant risk to this first approach you outlined, because so far we have been kind of let off the hook by Turkey. We have not been confronted with so many demands. That has been so far the case, but there is no guarantee that if we started proactively separating our process from Sweden, that we will not get our own list of demands. So there's definitely that risk to it.
That is a valid point. Leaving aside the possibility that Turkish objections are completely valid, because most international observers do not see them that way. So leaving that aside and seeing it as essentially a bullying tactic, the lesson of bullying is that it encourages more bullying. And if it's seen as drawing a wedge between Sweden and Finland in this regard, who's to say that it would not lead to more outrageous demands of Helsinki as well? That's an excellent point.
Exactly.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's talk about a way of bridging this gap. And you're very astute on issues of Baltic security and dynamics in these issues. I'd like to run by you what I think is a distinct possibility, maybe a probability in the coming months, and see what you think of it. To me, NATO is an alliance, and in order to have full membership, yes, all of the member states must agree, which makes sense for a collective security organization. That said, any member state can enter into other alliances with other countries, including multilateral alliances. Or even short of a formal alliance, any country can enter into strong alignments with other countries that include de facto security guarantees and enhanced military interoperability and training and exercises. Do you see, as likely as I see it, that if there is a many, many month stalemate here, that the majority of countries in NATO, perhaps 28 out of 30, perhaps even Hungary, would go along with a de facto alliance with Sweden and Finland and essentially have them in NATO in everything but name only, including ramping up of exercises, participation in multilateral exercises to the extent possible, and an enhancement of what have already come out as public statements from many member states guaranteeing the security of Sweden and Finland through any means necessary to help them. Do you see that as, in a sense, a way of keeping the situation going for formal membership, but helping defend Sweden and Finland should the need arise?
That is a very interesting proposal. And of course, these kind of ideas have been floated. I would actually even go as far as to say that to some extent it is already happening without anyone having actually announced it. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, in Finland, there's constant exercise activity. There's been, since the application was handed in Brussels, it was quite impressive. Actually, end of May 2022, the Finnish defense minister announced 20 new exercises for 2022 only, so for the remaining months of 2022, so new or partially modified exercises, and all of them obviously with international partners, meaning NATO partners. So there were American partners almost constantly for months on end in Finland, in different exercises last year. There was, for example, this one very interesting exercise called Vigilant Knife in, I love the name, sorry, I have to emphasize, it's so funny. Anyways.
It is a wonderful name.
So this exercise was planned on very short notice, and it was with Swedes and British participants. And the idea was to test the Finnish-Swedish interoperability and how well it works on short notice. Normally, you would take months at least to plan this kind of an exercise. But the experience was very positive. It went very well, and so the conclusion was that the mobility between Finland and Sweden to get Swedish troops to Finland, and they were then under Finnish command, that went very well. And there have been lots of exercises in all areas, air, ground, and sea, continuously. So this exercise activity is already happening and taking place. As I mentioned, the Americans are extremely active, extremely present. Also the British, Norwegians are also like maybe the third most present NATO ally, but also others have participated. Also France and Germany participated in a big naval exercise called Freezing Wind, which was also an ingenious name. So this is already happening, and then Finland and Sweden are currently in the process of negotiating defense cooperation agreements with the US. So there is already a basis for this from 2016 bilaterally and 2018 statements of intent of defense cooperation and so on. So this has been already going on for a while, but the qualitative difference is that these DCAs are actually legally binding documents that will regulate the legal status of US troops and equipment in Finland and Sweden. So this takes the cooperation to a completely next level. So Finland and Sweden are already pursuing this kind of like bilateral things while the actual NATO process is stalling. Mm-hmm. And whether I think that it's likely that something in a more, let's say, informally formal way would emerge in this of this nature, I doubt that it's very likely, because I think there's a very, very big hurdle to actually omitting or like circumventing the collective defense and the because mm-hmm. it would to a certain extent kind of question NATO's purpose as it is, and it would be in terms of NATO's internal diplomacy quite a difficult thing to do. But of course it would be a very strong message towards Turkey, obviously.
Absolutely. And I have to say, if I'm in Moscow reading the situation, it's pretty clear that the major military and strategic partners in NATO, from the United States through the United Kingdom and France and Germany, when you have almost unanimous support from NATO and Turkey is the only holdout, it's not as if Moscow would be looking at some future scenario with Finland and Sweden and seeing that there would be absolute and total dissension in the NATO countries over any kind of confrontation whereby there would be a splintering of the alliance where only a couple of countries would agree to cooperate in a security sense with the Finns or the Swedes. I'm not sure I can understand Moscow's perspective very well lately, but if I'm looking at the situation from Moscow, I certainly see this as a sign that Sweden and Finland have a lot more support than a few years ago, and certainly would be virtually a NATO ally, if not one in terms of full coordination and full alliance membership. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. And that has been made quite clear both by the US and by Stoltenberg, the general secretary. So I think that it is indeed, as you say, that Finland and Sweden are virtually members in all but name. Of course, at least in Finland, where we tend to be very, very realistic and rather like on the pessimistic side, just to be safe, and like you know, better to be safe than sorry. Obviously, we still do want to get the full security guarantee of Article 5. So, obviously, anything else or any other arrangement will be kind of Plan B and not quite as satisfactory as that. But obviously, it's for me completely impossible to imagine a situation where Finland and or Sweden would be somehow threatened and NATO would just watch and stand by. I can't imagine that kind of a scenario happening. Mm-hmm. So I think we are already definitely half or more than halfway there and definitely in the alliance already with more than just one foot, let's say one and a half. So I think I fully agree with you, and you're completely right on this.
And we do have some additional evidence that there's no real barrier to defense and security cooperation between Finland and Turkey. Our friend Henry Van Hannon, who is going to join us for this conversation, but we had some technical issues. He has tweeted out that Finland has granted a new defense material export permit to Turkey for the export of reinforced steel by a Finnish company, which certainly makes it seem as if Finland is determined to proceed as if things are going to move forward and things are going to work out. They're not looking to escalate it, in a sense, following the idea of the president who said we have to take it calmly. Do you see any evidence to the contrary that there's likely to be any Finnish moves to, in a sense, flex some muscle with Ankara to try to help resolve the Swedish issue directly?
I don't really see that coming, and I also don't see how it would be helpful. I think just keeping calm is the right approach, and it's better to avoid any kind of additional provocations that will just probably add water to the mill, as we say in Finland, because the ball is in Erdogan's court, and especially as still a non-NATO member state, there isn't that much that Finland could do about it, really. And I think trying to exert some pressure on Turkey would be probably very counterproductive. So I guess there's not much else that can be done except wait and see until the Turkish elections are over and done with, and then possibly reevaluate what the situation is.
Right. Does the whole situation here, Mina, does the fact that so many countries ratified within weeks of the formal application, and I recall we were tracking on a hour-by-hour basis for a while there, which countries were ratifying at what speed, and that was fun. Do you think that because Hungary has taken so long, and especially because Turkey has been playing this game, let's assume that in a year that these objections are overcome and Finland and Sweden are members of NATO, do you think that there will be some lingering concerns about the reliability and the depth of Turkish support for Finland's security in particular and NATO in general?
Well, I do think that this has definitely damaged Turkey's image in Finland. One factor that has really triggered some bitterness is that Finland has been actually quite a long-term supporter of Turkey's EU perspective. So there was some feeling of betrayal in that sense, and also because the logic is so very different than how Finns act and handle international relations. So it has been quite the, let's say, crash course on also NATO's internal workings and diplomacy and NATO's internal politics as well. It is not only a defense alliance, but also there's quite a lot of like politics to it as well. So in that sense, yeah, it's been quite the lesson. And I think it really depends on how far Turkey will take this and what it will take to get the ratifications. If it just stalls until after the elections and then at some point it's like, oh, well, now we'll get this done and no very hard feelings remain, I think it would be not very beneficial if Turkey, for example, really insisted on Sweden actually making some changes in its legislation, because that is kind of considered to be quite an audacious demand. So mm-hmm. I think it really depends on how far Turkey will go with this and on what exactly will it insist. But if it can be resolved somehow halfway peacefully, in a sense that that then the objections will be dropped at some point and an understanding can be found, I think people will be able to kind of, you know, get over it. Finns tend not to forget, but I think people can forgive it and then just move on and understand that, okay, this is just a completely different way of doing politics. But I do think that this has still damaged Turkey's image to quite an extent in both countries.
Sure. Well, to close, we've talked about the government, obviously, in Helsinki, and you've brought up some public opinion matters. But I'd like to talk about the foreign policy and security community that you are a part of. You're studying these issues, looking at these issues from a non-governmental perspective. And I'd like to hear what your mood is and what the general cooperation and coordination has been in the last few months with other similarly minded foreign policy and security experts across NATO. Are you seeing that some of the groundwork that obviously governments are doing, you mentioned joint military exercises and such, but a lot of the fabric of NATO has to do with civil society your aspect of that is, of course, being a security analyst. Are you seeing those ties being built even as the actual process of alliance membership is stalled?
Oh, yes, definitely. So what we have been very busy with are all kinds of cooperation formats with the other Nordic institutes in the other Nordic countries. With Sweden, we have further intensified our cooperation also on the think tank and research institute level. The same with Norway, and this whole Nordic cooperation is obviously already very, very tight, but there's a whole new momentum in that, definitely, and that is taking place also on the governmental level. So there's a lot of movement there, but also with, for example, the NATO Defense College, we are establishing some cooperation with them, and there's definitely a lot going on. There's this intense interest in Finland and Sweden now because of everything that is going on, which is quite unusual, especially for Finland. We used to be more like on the unknown side of the world. So it has been quite an interesting experience to be in the focus of so much international attention. So yes, also on the let's say security analyst community, that is definitely taking place. There are regular exchanges and cooperation formats, especially in the Nordics, but also with other partners from elsewhere in Europe and with the US, obviously.
Yep, that'll do it for today. Minna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
The Lawfare podcast is produced in cooperation with the Brookings Institution. You can get ad-free versions of this and several of our other podcasts by supporting us materially at patreon.com/lawfare. Your support enables everything we do, and we do appreciate it. This podcast is edited by Jen Pacha Howell. Your audio engineer this episode was me. Our music is performed by Sophia Yan. As always, thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.